Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com just like we do, with great service and a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term contracts. Postage and a digital scale? Check it out for yourself. Go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. On today's episode, a beloved grandfather is still playing jokes on the family even after he's gone. A little boy swears that his baby cousin is pulling on his shirt, but no one is there. A tow truck driver discovers a gruesome scene after hearing a disembodied voice, and a young woman believes she had a death visit from a beloved childhood friend. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony Bruschi joining you today. Jenny has this show off. We got some great stories for you today. Excited about this. I always love these stories of the disembodied voices. I just that phrase in general, just the words disembodied voice, just it seems just to reek of just creepiness, doesn't it? It's like one of the, I think, the creepiest sentences or phrases that you can use. I'm going to use that more this year in Halloween commercials that I make for haunted houses. Just I don't think it's used enough. It's just when it's used, it's like, ooh, creepy. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email me your audio file. Send it over to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also, by the way, if you have any ghost pictures or video you'd like to submit for an upcoming episode of Seeing Ghosts, you can email those to me as well, and we may use them on a future episode of that. Of course, our EPPs know all about Seeing Ghosts, but 10 or so episodes of that up now on our website at ghostpodcast.com. It's the video program we put together where we talk about the ghost photos that you guys have sent into us and obviously display them. Pretty creepy stuff on some of those. Definitely worth checking out over there at ghostpodcast.com. So let's jump into it. Our first story today comes into us from Samantha. Samantha says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've written in a few times, and I have so many more stories to share. Currently listening to the older episodes and making my way to the newer ones, so I'm not sure if you've read my other stories I've sent in. When I catch up, I'm going to become an EPP member and listen to all those past episodes. Anyway, every episode I listen to reminds me of one of the many paranormal experiences I have had. Here's another one for you. My pawpaw passed away on November 13th of 2014. He'd fought a long, hard battle with heart disease and died in his home surrounded by his family. Some backstory on my pawpaw and nanny. They had been married for almost 70 years and always lived in the same house. They subscribed to the traditional family roles where my pawpaw worked and my nanny took care of the home and family. When my pawpaw retired, my nanny continued to take care of him, bringing him food, laying out his clothes, etc. My nanny was going deaf and could barely hear anything within the last few years of her life. She had a hearing aid, but would forget to turn them on or even put them in at times, so while she and my pawpaw were still alive, my pawpaw would yell out, 'Wilma!' and it would make everyone in the house jump. The day after my pawpaw died, my mom, my oldest cousin, and my nanny were all sitting in front of my room. My mom tells me that they were sitting there discussing the arrangements that needed to be made, and they heard it. They heard, 'Wilma!' My nanny didn't hear it, but of course my cousin and mom did. Mom says they looked at each other in shocked surprise. They asked each other what they heard, and then my cousin decided to leave the house suddenly. I'm not sure if this was residual or just my pawpaw staying with my nanny and still wanting her to take care of him. She died less than a year later of a broken heart. I have a lot more stories and stuff that's currently happening in my house, different from my grandparents' house. Happy to keep writing in if you find them interesting. Thanks, Sam." Sam, thank you for sharing your story. That is definitely one where it's hard to know, is it residual or is it a conscious entity? Is he still there asking for help? I'd be curious to know if any other things happened in that house that would lead us with some clues to the answer of that question. Meaning, was there anything else that you heard or saw that seemed to be beyond just the pattern of what he was doing? Or was there more, if anything, a pattern of what had been occurring when he was alive? I'd also be curious to hear of anyone that's now living in that house, if they're hearing Wilma being shouted out. That'd be funny if we get a story in from someone going, we just bought this house and this old couple lived there for nearly 70 years and we now hear this voice yelling Wilma. Someday we will get a story like that where it's a correlation to a past one. Who knows? Maybe we have and we're just completely unaware of it. I would not doubt that possibility for 1 second. Our next story comes into us from Mary. Mary says, Tony and Jenny, in some previous episodes, you've touched on dimming one's beacon or light to be less noticed by spirits and demons. You and your contributors have kicked around ways to do this, and I'd like to share a method that's worked for me. I've been spiritual most of my life, and now in my middle age, I've become more open to the entities around me. I would classify myself as a Buddhist pagan mixed, honoring spirits, both human and not, around me with intent to do no harm. During my waking hours, I become much more sensitive to the light side and things on the brighter side of gray. At our local Goodwill stores, I feel the happy attached to objects, good memories of home and family. I'll pick up on crankier spirits, too. This is my chair, and I want to go back home with it. I feel sorry for the latter type. I travel for work several times a year, and during the last two trips, the darker side has played on me at night. Horrible, nested, realistic nightmares, apparitions, nothing like watching a skull come through the room and sink through the floor. Something trying to taunt me to interact. By the end of the last trip, I hated the thought of trying to sleep, and I just kept busy when I got back to my hotel room, trying to ignore what was brewing around me. I've never had this problem at home, and traveling isn't a new thing for me. My husband was trained as a shaman with his Native American group. He deals with the spirit world confidently and easily. I asked him why I'm now being targeted at night by these things. His reply is exactly what you've talked about. I've opened up my light. I don't have the brilliance that my husband does, but just enough to show I might be a good target. His advice to me was threefold. Say to myself, shields up. This will help me put a shield around my light, helping to keep anything from getting in. At night, reinforce the shields up message several times before going to bed. If we give ourselves a message enough times, our subconscious will pick up on it. It's even better to include the messages in meditation. While I can respect or show honor, I need to try and keep entities from interacting with me. Something like, look, but don't touch. In my case, my light opened before I could learn to control the interaction. It's best for me to keep the dark and the light entities from interacting until I'm able to shut dark ones down confidently, as well as fully discern the difference. I hope this advice helps someone else. It's been successful for me overall as I've become less of a dark entity target. Take care, y'all. Thanks for all you do for this community and those who feel they have no place to turn with their experiences. I love being an EPP, my second year now, and it's been worth every penny. Mary, in Washington State. Mary, thank you for the kind words and the thoughts on that. It's one of those things where I have a hard time understanding how that all works because I'm not necessarily one who is, I guess, super sensitive to it. So I don't really have the issue of needing to put the shield up or do anything, I guess, with my light because I feel I'm not one that's picking up on a lot of things. But I guess that is something that is much more understandable and would make perfect sense for someone who is in that situation who does go through those things. As I watch from afar, all I can do is really just kind of listen and try to understand what it's like to be someone who's in that situation with those abilities. It's fascinating to me. Some days, one of those things where some days it's like, I kind of wish I had that. And many other times, I think more than not, I'm glad I have the sensitivity level that I do, which is not super sensitive. Thank you for the advice on that letter. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, EPP members, when you sign up for that yearly membership, get the bunk bed bell, and a month of the EPP membership's free. And we use stamps.com to send out our bunk bed bells. It makes it so easy. No long trips to the post office where you never know what you're going to get. You never know how long that line is going to be or who's going to be helping you and if they can help you. All that has been eliminated from my world thanks to stamps.com. They save you time, they save you money, which helps you grow your business. I can mail any letter, any package just by using my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it right up. It's so easy. The hassles of the post office have been eliminated. You got to check it out. Stamps.com brings all the services basically of the post office right to your fingertips. And they make it so easy. They send you a digital scale. It automatically calculates every single thing you're sending out, so you don't have to worry about putting too many stamps on a package or whatnot. It just, here's what you'd pay, so you don't overpay. Stamps.com even helps you decide the best class of mail based on your needs, so how fast you need it to get there, all that. It will tell you the most cost-effective route for whatever you are trying to do. No need to lease an expensive postage meter. If you're in business, it just makes sense. I use Stamps.com because of all those reasons. And right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. They send it all to you, and you can use it. It's like virtual. It's almost like free money in a certain, you know, certain sense there, without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in ghost. Stamps.com, enter ghost. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, Sam says, "Hey guys, last year I wrote to you about an experience I'd shared about my friend and a spirit she had following her everywhere. Well, this time around, I have my very own experience I wanted to tell you about. So a couple years, my now wife, Yvonne, my stepson, Ethan, and I moved into a home in the Forest Hill area of Newark, New Jersey. Forest Hill is known for its mansion-like homes and used to be an area where many celebrities once lived. We moved into this 7-bedroom home with my wife's brother and cousin and their significant others. Our little Ethan was the only child in the house of 6 adults. At first, his home was the epitome of any home I've dreamt of living in. There is such a beautiful character to it. I couldn't have been happier to all be there, and Yvonne and I at the time found it to be the perfect living situation while we were in the midst of planning our wedding. However, about a month in, things started to change, and most of the change was between her and I. We began drifting apart, arguing all the time, couldn't stand to be next to one another, and it got to the point where we had called off the wedding altogether. That was just the beginning of it. There was a number of incidents where any one of us in the house would see shadows cross a room at the corner of our eyes. There was a few times I can recall something went dashing up the stairs. At first, I thought it might have been my brother-in-law's cat, but I'd seen this thing scurry up and noticed that the cat would be in the same room as me. Gives me chills just thinking about it. Much of it went ignored until one day I woke up early and noticed something strange on the ceiling of our bedroom. Yvonne had gotten up shortly after and began telling me about a dream she'd had, but stopped when she noticed she'd been concentrating on the ceiling. I asked her to hand me my glasses, which she'd set down on her nightstand the night before after I'd fallen asleep with them on. The moment I put them on, I realized that I definitely was not seeing things. We'd already been in this house for a few months by that time, and not once did I ever wake up to something like this. But it was a face on our ceiling, and it was looking right down at the two of us. I asked Yvonne to look up and tell me if she saw the same thing, and she said no at first, but I had asked her to put on her glasses and to scooch just a little more towards me. "Oh my God," she yelped. "What is that? It's never been there before." I grabbed my phone to snap a picture of it. We ran downstairs to show everyone else, and they too were freaked out. I never saw it again after that day. The tension between Yvonne and I began to subside towards the end of that year, and we realized that it may have been because of whatever was in the house. Apart from the shadows, we were the only ones being affected by any of it emotionally. So with that in mind, we began planning our wedding again. Winter had approached, and we noticed that the house was very well heated, considering how big it was. All rooms were generally hot enough where we would need to crack a window just to allow for some circulation of cooler air. Ethan had just turned 4 by this time and was gearing up for pre-K. Anyway, there were a few nights where he'd come knocking on our bedroom door in the middle of the night, crying because he'd wet the bed. Yvonne took care of his wet clothes and would clean him up while I changed out the linen. There was, however, one thing I noticed about his room. It was always cold in the middle of the night, which we had officially put down as a reason for his bedwetting. We didn't know how to handle the situation because we'd had the heater checked. It was in perfect working order. We put him in warm pajamas every night and bundled him with blankets just to keep him warm. We'd even resorted to him sleeping in our room to see if there was a difference. In our room, he didn't wet the bed. However, in his room, even with us sweating profusely from being bundled up, he'd still wet the bed. He'd slept with us for a while until Yvonne and I brought him a TV for Christmas. He found himself enjoying his room a little more and would often fall asleep while watching a movie. His room had warmed up a bit as well, and there was less bedwetting. Just after New Year, Ethan woke up in the middle of the night screaming and crying. Yvonne and I and her cousin, whose bedroom was also on the second floor with us, ran out to check on him. He was almost inconsolable. All he kept saying repeatedly was, "I'm scared, I'm just scared." We tried to get him to tell us what scared him, but he wouldn't. So Yvonne rocked him back and forth, saying he only had a bad dream. She opted to sleep in the room with him and her cousin, and I retreated to our own rooms. The next morning, I asked Ethan if he remembered anything from last night, and he immediately went quiet and nodded yes. I could tell he didn't want to talk about it, so I let it go. These nightmares seemed to occur weekly, and the bedwetting started back up despite how warm it was in the room. On one occasion, Yvonne and I gestured Ethan to go upstairs to get ready for bed, and we'd meet him up there to tuck him in. He made it to the first landing of the stairs and turned back around. We looked at him, and we could see he was upset. Pinching his lip, he said, "I don't want to go there by myself." And I asked him, "Why? What's wrong?" He replied, "There's a lady up there." All of us rushed out of the kitchen to see what he was talking about, but of course, we saw nothing. However, his room was cold again, and this time even the men in the house had felt it. Yvonne and I took him into our room, put the TV on for him to watch until he fell asleep, and we monitored him periodically. These sorts of events kept taking place and was becoming more apparent to everyone in the house, but it all seemed to focus on Ethan. Yvonne's cousin was looking after Ethan as well as her own 3-month-old. She put both boys in our bedroom while she took a moment to organize the baby's drawers and closets, as she still hadn't gone through everything he'd received between the baby shower and Christmas. She checked on them periodically. Ethan was quietly lying on his bed watching Mickey Mouse Club, and little Nicholas laid on the bed next to him. She picked up Nicholas to bring him back to her room for feeding. Shortly after, she heard Ethan saying, "Stop! Stop, Nicholas, you're pulling my shirt." She walked over to the room and could still see Ethan shooing away something. She popped her head in and asked, "Ethan, baby, what's wrong?" "Nicholas keeps pulling my shirt." "Ethan, I'm holding Nicholas." "Oh." And then he quietly turned around and continued watching TV. Yvonne's cousin kept quiet about it, but made sure to let us know when we got home. She was a bit shaken by it, as we were, naturally. It wasn't long after that Yvonne, Ethan, and myself moved out of the house, and Yvonne and I had gotten married and found our own place. Since moving, we've experienced no tension between the two of us. Ethan no longer has nightmares or accidents in the night. The atmosphere around us was warm and lighter. We could truly feel the difference. We'd made a couple of trips back to the house later that year to pop in and say hi to everyone. We learned from my sister-in-law that before the two previous owners, there was a pastor of some sort who occupied the home. He'd hold retreats at the house for his parishioners and used to form a prayer to release their inner demons, if you will. This was the closest we could get to an explanation of the strange occurrences within the house. I'm sure there's much more to the history of the home, but we've never been able to find anything. Whatever it was, it made a connection with our little family. Not sure if it was because of our soon-to-be marriage or if it was because we had a little one, but we couldn't be more thrilled to be out of there and living happily ever after. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. And I guess that is a good explanation, if you will, or a good possibility of an explanation of the pastor and the releasing of the inner demons into the home. It's a scary thought. At the same point, I can understand why you were probably targeted. Lots of emotion going on there, and probably a fairly easy target. Young couple, small child. Some of those things, they seem to be targeting, you know, the, I don't want to say the weakest, but, you know, young, you know, inexperienced in life and just kind of starting out, that kind of is a bullseye for some of these things. I'm glad to hear that it did work out and it wasn't the end of your relationship or anything of that nature. It's interesting when you look back on some of those situations and stories that we get where people talk about being very oppressed in homes and relationships falling apart, but no one can really put a definitive finger on what exactly is causing that oppression and that relationship to deteriorate, other than just kind of an overwhelming, you know, almost white noise, you know, that kind of ends up surrounding people and driving them to just being unhappy, a depression of some sort that ends up just corroding everything around them. I'm glad that you're out of there. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. I wonder if we're going to have any ghost stories to share with you in the coming weeks. We're going to be doing... And you're not going to notice it because, like I said, we're trying to, on the previous episode, trying to build some episodes ahead when we go on a little family trip to go visit some family in Wisconsin. We're also going to do a trip on the Badger, which is the boat, this old coal-powered steamship that goes across Lake Michigan from Wisconsin to Michigan. It's a car ferry. It's neat. Look it up if you're into ships. I believe it's the last steamship that coal-powered steamship that's operating in the United States. They had to do a whole bunch of revamps on the ship to allow it to continue running. It's built in the 50s, still going today. It's a neat experience. I went on it as a child, took Jen on it a couple years ago, and now we're going to take our girls on it, and I'm really excited about it. But you can feel stuff on that boat a little bit. There's a lot of history there. And then we're going to go over to Michigan, go up through the old area I used to live in. I know we have some listeners over there, Traverse City, Petoskey, all that. And then we're going to do Mackinac Island for a day. We're not going to stay on the island this time. We got the kids, and it's rather pricey to stay on Mackinac Island, especially if you need like a second room or something for children. So kind of do the day trip over to Mackinac Island. We'll do a, you know, tour of the Grand Hotel and walk around and just let them see the experience of it. Then come back and stay over on the mainland and then drive through the Upper Peninsula. But I'm wondering if maybe we'll get something interesting, some interesting feelings or stories out of Mackinac Island, a place, if you've ever been to, it truly just has a lot of history to it and a lot of energy there. That's a place even I could feel stuff on when I lived up there. 11, 12 years ago, I did a morning show. So I'd get off the air, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes I would just drive up there. It was like a half hour from my house. Just take the ferry over by myself and just walk around or ride a bike around the island. And I just loved it. There's just something so neat and magical about that place. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I guess it's kind of a somewhere in time thing. You feel a weird, some of us, I guess, feel a weird connection to the place, and I don't know why, but it's a cool place, and I'm excited to take the kids there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Christian writes in, I'm one of those haunted people you guys talk about. Nearly every home I've lived in has had a varying degree of activity. I love the show and the fact that you guys are so non-judgmental. This is the first time I'm sharing a story publicly. A few friends and relatives know about the activity that I experience, but I certainly don't make it common knowledge. I lived in Houston, Texas. Now I live in Colorado. I'm 46 and was a Texas teacher for 17 years. The first story I'd like to share is not one of my stories, but a story relayed to me by my boss at Domino's Pizza. I worked there through high school and college due to the flexibility of the hours. I was living in Houston, Texas at the time. My manager was a nice guy, and we became friends. He was also friends with my husband. I think I was 24 when he told me this story. Before he worked at Domino's, he was a tow truck driver. He said he often made it to the scene of an accident before the police or ambulance arrived at the scene. He said he enjoyed the work, even if sometimes he saw terrible things. He also felt like he was helping people. The money was very good. He was a few years older than me, but his work allowed him to do his own home outright. One chilly, rainy, nasty evening right before Christmas, he was called out to the scene of an accident. Since it was a rainy night, the police, ambulance, and tow truck drivers were very busy, and he was the first person on scene. He turned his lights on and pulled behind the car. It was obvious the car had been hit, but he didn't see the other car, assuming it might be hit and run. Even though Houston is a large city, there are semi-deserted areas that are dark and visibility was low. That night, there was a cold, foggy haze that we don't get too often here. He got out of his tow truck, put on his raincoat, grabbed a flashlight, and started to examine the pavement for glass he'd need to sweep and making sure he could hook up the wrecked car. The wreck looked as if it had been there a while. He came around to the side of the car. He heard a faint crying of a baby. Realizing that someone might be hurt, he ran to the driver's side and found an awful scene. A man deceased, a woman who was unconscious in the passenger side, and an infant who had struck and shattered the windshield. Also deceased. He heard a thin cry again. It sounded like it came from inside the car. Assuming that another child may be in the car or might have been ejected, he ran to the radio and requested some ambulance and police to come immediately. He returned to the car and rendered aid to the female who remained unconscious. He checked her airway but decided not to move her, fearing a spinal cord injury. He told me that the night was so dark black he felt like the light was sucked up into the void. He took his heavy-duty flashlight and started looking through the wrecked sedan. For a third time he heard a crying baby, but this time it sounded like it was coming from the field, to the right of the wrecked car. About this time, the police arrived and my friend told the police that there's another child somewhere. Then an ambulance pulled up and they started rendering aid. The policeman grabbed a spotlight and he and my friend began to really look. No child was ever found. The police and my friend searched for hours and the policeman and my friend continued to hear sporadic crying through the night. Now you might say it was an animal or bird. My boss swears up and down it was no animal. He was a hunter and was acquainted with animal sounds. And the policeman heard the crying too. My friend quit his job the next day. He was so shaken up, he just dropped the keys on his boss's desk and walked out. This was a good job where he made a good living. I asked him if he'd ever go back to driving a tow truck, and he told me, hell no. Thanks for taking time to read my story. I'm a fan and appreciate your open-minded forum for sharing our crazy stories and experiences. Thank you for sharing that story. I think I would have done the exact same thing. You know, obviously people all think, oh, you tell ghost stories. You must be, what have you seen? What have you experienced? Not a whole hell of a lot compared to what we get in here. I think if I'd been through something like that or one of the many stories that we've heard in a workplace environment, regardless of how much I needed that job, I think I would have been like, yeah, I'm done. That would just be too troubling. And the thing is, even you quit that job, you leave that job, you move on with your life and do something else, that's something that's still going to haunt you. That's not going away, even though the job's gone and you're done possibly having another run-in with something like that. That's going to be seared into your consciousness forever. Thanks for sharing the experience that your former boss had. Appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Rachel writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Rachel. I'm from Ireland, and I've been a huge fan of the show for a while now, which is strange because things to do with paranormal freak me out. But in the past 2 years or so, I notice myself getting more intrigued. My story starts back in December of 2015 when I had gotten into a nasty accident which led to me being hospitalized for a few weeks. During those weeks, I was given various medications and I have taken that into consideration when it comes to my story. When I got home, I had to sleep downstairs as it would be next to impossible for me to walk up and downstairs. My parents had also decided that each night one of them would sleep downstairs for the first week just in case I woke up and needed help. I was in pain nearly every day and night, so sleep was difficult. I was surprised when I awoke one night. Felt as if someone was looking down at me as I lay there still on my bed, confused why I woke up. Then I heard footsteps walking out of the sitting room past the hall where my dog was asleep and out of the kitchen. I thought it was my dad, who often woke at night, but as I turned around, I noticed my dad fast asleep on the couch. I then heard the front door close. To say I was confused was an understatement. I lay back down trying to comprehend what had just happened, and suddenly I heard the front door open again. And the footsteps returned, back to the kitchen, back to the hall, and back into the sitting room. Into the sitting room. I lay there, unmoving. The presence felt earlier was returning. But when I looked up, I saw nothing. Only the sound of the footsteps walking away were heard. It wasn't until I heard the front door close that I sat up.
Sleep didn't come easy that night. It wasn't until the next day that I remembered that my house was over 200 years old. The previous owner had died in that exact room. I honestly don't know what this means and would love to get your opinion on it. I have more interesting stories regards to this. The story where I woke up to the sound of my dog crying, and which sounds like horrible agony. I grabbed my crutches and rushed out to help my dog just to find him fast asleep and nothing wrong. He doesn't usually cry in his sleep, so I found it very odd. Another incident was where I fell asleep on my bed, woke up on the couch, wrapped all the way around like a mummy with blankets that belonged to the couch. It freaked me out because my crutches were at the other side of the room, by my bed, and I would have needed them to get across. Only thing I recall is being lifted, but it wasn't my dad. When I questioned him, he said, "If you were fast asleep on your bed, why would I move you?" Appreciate you guys reading this. Would love to get your opinion on this. I'd love to hear this on the show and look forward to you guys' thoughts. Stay safe and have a good day, Rachel. Well, Rachel, what I would say is it sounds like you have somewhat of a protective spirit there. The dog part, that's kind of odd with the sounds, but it does sound like there's someone there that's just trying to take care of you. So that's a good thing compared to what you could have, trying to prey on someone in a time of need. But it sounds like you have someone that is just generally looking out for you. Thanks for sharing. Gwendolyn writes in, "One place we, my husband and six-month-old child, and I moved into in Las Vegas was interesting. We had moved in with my best friend from high school. The first notice I had was that one day while I was home alone with the kids, there was a noise like a group of angry bats trapped in our living room air vent. They were squeaking, scratching, thumping around, coming from the vent very loudly. Lasted maybe a minute, but it seemed like forever. About a month later, the same thing happened. I called the office and they heard it over the phone. Maintenance was there in just a few minutes. Nothing was there. I said aloud I would move there next time it happened. That was the last of it. My friend and I started to notice the two kids, mine and hers, or the dog reacting like they were interacting to someone we couldn't see. Playing Ring Around the Rosie, sitting and listening to someone talk to them. The dog would sit up as if watching a person standing there. We had the bedroom at the end of the hall, and my friend had hers at the front. Both of us had a signal. We were going out, and we would jingle our keys in the hallways to not wake the kids if they were sleeping. We started to hear keys jingle. We'd look out, and no one was there. I put a waterproof radio in the bathroom so we could hear the news and traffic while in the shower. It started to come on when the kids were bathing. By now, we knew we just liked the children, sort of a weird babysitter at times. Once, when my son was in the bathroom by himself, the radio turned on full blast. I'm running down the hallway, and my son came running out crying because it scared him. Once everyone was calm and I talked to it, I said I understood it liked the kids and dog and that it missed communication with people. We had no problem with it sharing its space with us, but if it ever scared a child or caused harm, Mama Bear would come up and make it very unhappy. We would move and we would get the place cleared. I know it's not scary, but honestly, some aren't if you took time to think it out." And that's very, very true. It's a very true observation of a lot of these things. Sometimes they're just sharing space. Sometimes they just want some sort of interaction. And I think I would too if you didn't have it for such a long time. And they're trying to do it in a non-confrontational way. But when you're a ghost, almost any way, it's going to be somewhat confrontational or disturbing to the living. Emily writes in, "Dear Tony and Jenny, my name is Emily. I've been living in England for the past 10 years. Originally from Poland, I was always a sensitive person towards paranormal activities around me. And my first experience was when I was around 5 years old. I remember it like it happened only yesterday. Today I want to tell you two stories, both very sad for me. My first part of the story happened when I was around 16. It was a time when I was trying to do so-called vlogging using my mom's laptop. I took it upstairs into my bedroom, sat in the position that I never did before, laptop on my bed. I was sitting on the floor, so behind me was my bedroom floor, visible from the laptop camera. Only problem with the laptop that day was that it would not record my voice, only the camera footage. I was trying to sort it out in the settings, and I could see my reflection on the camera on the side of the screen. The music in my room was loud, and suddenly I noticed on my camera my bedroom door opening. It opened wide enough that I couldn't see anything on the camera in my hall, but not wide enough that it would happen by itself on cold, rainy November evening with windows closed in the house. I freaked out straight away and went straight into my brother's bedroom to ask him whether it was him. And it wasn't, as he too was busy playing his games. I went downstairs and told the story to my mom and her friend. After that, I was too scared to sit downstairs, so I grabbed the laptop and decided to do some study in the living room. But let me take you back 4 months ago. It's July, and I'm spending the last day of a holiday in Poland. I was just walking to my dad's house when I noticed my childhood friend that I hadn't seen for ages. We hugged, we were happy to see each other. Unfortunately, we both were busy that day, which, with me going back to the UK and her going on holiday. My friend was just 8 months after recovering from leukemia, and she looked happier than ever. She looked well. She was about to start the best college in her town. We didn't have much time to talk, so we made a promise to each other. Next time I'd be in Poland, I'd visit her. Unfortunately, next time I went back to Poland, she was back in the hospital after surgery again and very ill from leukemia. I was unable to see her because of the flu, and it was so sad for me. A few hours after that door opened, my mom received a phone call informing us that she had passed away. To this day, I believe that it was her coming to see me to say goodbye, as we were not able to do it before it was too late. When I was 20 years old studying at my university, I lost an amazing boyfriend to skin cancer. It was the most devastating thing I'd ever had happened to me. After months and months of recovery, I slowly started becoming myself again, trying to stay positive in the worst. My friends pushed me into trying online dating just to meet some and get out of the house. I was lucky to meet a guy that gave me reason to live again. We started talking because we both are very interested in paranormal. He never tried to replace the boyfriend I lost. He was very understanding and caring. After a while of being with each other, I started to stay around his house a few times in a week. He lived at the other side of the city, and it'd be impossible otherwise. One night I had a dream that there was a very tall shadow standing by the bedside table on my side of the bed. It felt slightly like sleep paralysis, but I know that it wasn't, and I wasn't in that state. Suddenly, my boyfriend wakes up, looking terrified. He starts telling me he had a dream where I woke him up and asked if we could go and get a drink from the kitchen. He agrees and gets up from bed, and suddenly, he's looking at the dark on me. Suddenly, he realized that a dark, tall, very tall shadow was standing in front of me. That's when he woke up. My boyfriend was 6'5", very protective of me. I believe he came that night to maybe warn my current boyfriend that he's always by me, that he should never hurt me. I'm sorry for the two sad and very long stories, but they're both very important to me. I'm an EPP and love all the episodes, and I want to thank you for what you're doing. You are both awesome people. I'll write again, as a house where I still live with my family is haunted. We had many other people experiencing it, and I'll have to tell you my childhood story. Thank you again, Emily. Emily, thanks for sharing your stories with us. We do greatly appreciate that. I would venture to believe your assumption on the last story there of it probably being your boyfriend, just hanging around and still being protective. Faye writes in 2005, I wanted to get a job where I didn't have to put my children in daycare. I applied to work at a hospital because I could work graveyard shift and listen to Art Bell and maybe see a few ghosts of my own, since hospitals were supposed to be a hotbed for that kind of thing. 7 years working graves in the old TB wing and nothing. My department was downsized, and I decided to apply to work in the graveyard shift as a housekeeper. I got a job at one of our sister hospitals 30 minutes away. My very first night, I asked everyone if they had ghost stories, and a lot of people did. I had hoped I might have a ghost story of my own. I decided I would probably have to work there a while before it happened, though, because the people who worked there just a year hadn't had one to share yet. My third night on the job, I was training with a girl in a hospital room on the fifth floor. Our main lead had called out at sick, and a newer guy was tagged it. He kept coming to get me advice and share game plans with the girl training me. I saw and heard and felt him come in, but this time he was silent. I turned around to see what he was doing. There was no one there. The girl working with me looked up slowly and her eyes got big, and I asked, "Someone just came in behind us, didn't they?" She nodded, still wide-eyed. I would have dismissed it if she hadn't been there too. Kind of boring and tame, but it really did shake me up, and I finally do have my own ghost story now. She refused to work in that room alone again. I worked there another year and a half, even. Ghost hunting on lunch breaks with another paranormal enthusiast on my team in the older, unused parts of the hospital with those phone apps, and never had any luck. Well, thank you for sharing your story. And yes, it does sound like quite a place for ghosts. Those apps are always very accurate. That's what I always wonder about. It seems like stuff shows up on the apps, but I other than the app, I don't really have any evidence of anything else happening when I've ever tried using them. I wonder what the opinion is on that from, tried and true ghost hunters that use them on a regular basis, or do ghost hunting on a regular basis, compared to equipment that you would get specifically for the ghost hunting outside of a phone app, how accurate are those apps? I'd be curious. If someone wants to shoot me an email, let me know. Tony@realghoststoriesonline.com is the email. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Greatly appreciate it. If you like our show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and a whole lot more. And that is, like I said, it's what keeps this thing on the air. So without your support, we couldn't do it. So please do consider becoming an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.